All right. For today's deep dive, we're tackling a topic I know many of you are eager to understand better: blockchain and cryptocurrency.
And we've got some great resources to help us unpack it all.
Absolutely. We're diving into Binance Academy's Beginner's Guide. And to get a broader perspective, we've got this Deloitte Insights piece on blockchain trends, kind of a 1-2 punch of what is it and what does it all mean?
Smart approach. One without the other can leave you with more questions than answers, right?
Exactly. So first up, cryptocurrency. Binance Academy doesn't mess around with jargon. They straight up call it digital cash, which on the surface sounds kind of like, haven't we had that for a while?
Yeah.
I mean, PayPal, Venmo.
Yeah, the initial reaction is often, what's the big deal? But the real difference lies in the control, or rather, the lack of it. Traditional money, whether it's cash in your pocket or numbers in your bank account, is always flowing through some central authority. Governments, banks.
Right, someone's always calling the shots.
Precisely. Cryptocurrency flips that on its head. It's decentralized, meaning no single entity is in charge. Instead, it operates on a distributed network, kind of like a massive, globally shared ledger.
So instead of trusting, say, Bank of America to handle my money securely, I'm trusting, well, the network itself.
You got it. It's about trusting the underlying technology and the cryptography securing everything. Now, I'll admit, the tech behind it can get pretty complex. Thankfully, using it isn't.
Oh, thank goodness. I was about to ask how deep this rabbit hole goes.
Think of it like this. You don't need to be a mechanic to drive a car, right? The apps and platforms you'd use for cryptocurrency handle the complexity for you.
Okay, that's a relief. So less about understanding the nuts and bolts, more about grasping the concept and the potential. And Binance Academy really honed in on those appealing aspects. It's permissionless, meaning anyone can use it, censorship resistant, no one can stop a transaction. Plus, they highlighted how cheap and fast it is compared to traditional methods.
They're not wrong. Those aspects are precisely why so many people are excited about cryptocurrency's potential to, well, disrupt the financial world as we know it.
Disrupt, huh? That's a loaded word. It makes me think about the early days of the internet. I mean, remember when online shopping was this novel idea? Now look at us. Is cryptocurrency really on that same trajectory?
There are definitely parallels. Back then, people were skeptical, couldn't imagine trusting their credit card info online. Now, it's second nature. The question is whether cryptocurrency can achieve that same level of mainstream adoption and reshape finance in the process.
It's certainly a fascinating thought. And speaking of intriguing, let's talk about Bitcoin for a second. The OG cryptocurrency, shrouded in mystery with that whole anonymous creator thing.
Ah, yes. Satoshi Nakamoto. A true enigma. No one definitively knows who they are, or even if it was a single person.
Which just adds to the mystique, right? But I'm guessing that anonymity isn't just for dramatic effect. It ties into what we were saying earlier about decentralization, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Bitcoin, by design, isn't controlled by any one person or institution. It's about the technology, the network. This is fundamentally different from, say, the U.S. dollar, which is very much tied to the U.S. government.
Okay, so we're starting to see the ideology underneath, but now I'm even more curious about how this actually works. And I think it's time to tackle that other somewhat intimidating word, blockchain.
Intimidating, yes, but like most things in tech, it's often less complicated than it sounds. At its core, a blockchain is just a special type of database.
Binance Academy described it as an append-only system, which I thought was an interesting way to put it.
It's a great analogy. Imagine a diary you can only write in. You can add new entries, but you can never go back and erase or change what's already written.
So each new entry, or block, is linked to the one before it, creating that chain. Makes sense. But how does that ensure everything is secure and tamper-proof?
That's where the real magic happens, and it all comes down to cryptography.
Okay, so cryptography is the key. But before we get too deep into the how, I'm curious about the why. We've got this tamper-proof record of, well, everything.
Well, almost everything. It depends on what's being tracked on the blockchain.
Right, good point. But the point is, we've got this immutable record. And Deloitte Insights was saying that businesses are going kind of nuts over this. What's the big deal for them?
It all boils down to trust, or rather, the lack of it in traditional systems. Take supply chains, for example.
Which is something I'm always harping on, by the way. Whether it's food, clothes, electronics, most of us have no idea where our stuff really comes from.
Exactly. It's often a black box, even for the companies selling the products. But put that supply chain on a blockchain. Suddenly, everyone with access can see the entire journey of a product, from raw materials to your doorstep.
And that's verifiable information, right? Not just, like, taking a company's word for it.
Exactly. It's all right there on the blockchain. You can instantly verify a product's authenticity, its origin, even things like ethical sourcing practices, if those are being tracked.
Which Deloitte actually connected to a real-world example, Tao Tai Fook, the jewelry giant. They're using blockchain tech to track diamonds.
Which is brilliant when you think about it. Diamonds especially have this whole ethical sourcing issue, right? Conflict diamonds, worker exploitation.
So if a customer buys a diamond from Tao Tai Fook and that diamond's journey is on the blockchain, they can be confident it's not a blood diamond.
In theory, yes. Now, it depends how much information is being tracked and how transparent the system is, but the potential is there. And that's what I find so exciting. Blockchain isn't just about the tech itself. It's about how it can be used to address real-world problems like ethical sourcing that consumers genuinely care about.
It's like providing that missing link between what we want to know about our purchases and what we actually can know.
Oh.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the what and the why, but I still want to wrap my head around the how. Let's get granular. Binance Academy used the example of sending coins. But how does that transaction actually happen on the blockchain?
So it's not quite as simple as your bank just moving numbers from one account to another. Think of it more like broadcasting a message to the entire network. Hey, I want to send this amount of cryptocurrency to this specific address.
And then what? Everyone just takes your word for it.
Not at all. This is where those consensus mechanisms come in, something both our sources touched on. It's basically a set of rules that everyone on the network agrees to follow in order to validate transactions.
Okay, so there are rules.
Yeah.
But who's enforcing them if there's no central authority?
That's the beauty of it. The network itself enforces the rules through this clever combination of cryptography and distributed consensus. It's complicated under the hood, but the basic idea is that multiple participants on the network have to verify and agree on the validity of a transaction before it's added to the blockchain.
So it's like a network-wide agreement, but without any single entity calling the shots.
Exactly. And it's precisely that decentralized consensus that makes it so secure. It's incredibly difficult for any single bad actor to cheat the system because they'd have to outmaneuver the entire network.
Okay, that makes sense. But with all this talk of decentralization and consensus, isn't there a trade-off somewhere? Like, getting everyone on a massive global network to agree on anything sounds incredibly inefficient.
It's a valid concern. And it gets to the heart of a lot of the challenges blockchain faces. There's definitely a trade-off between security, scalability, and speed.
So what you're saying is it's complicated.
Welcome to the world of cutting-edge technology. But seriously, that's why it's so important to understand these underlying concepts.
It is fascinating, though, isn't it? I feel like we always hear about crypto through this lens of, oh, it's about getting rich quick, or it's all a scam, and we never really get to the real potential.
Well, you've hit on something that Deloitte Insights emphasized too. Blockchain's real potential is much bigger than just digital currency. It's about those broader applications across industries.
And that's where I think a lot of people check out, right? They hear these use cases, but they struggle to connect the dots to their own lives. So indulge me for a second. Give me some tangible examples.
Sure. We've already touched on supply chains, but what about this? Imagine a world where your digital identity isn't controlled by some tech giant like Facebook or Google, but by you stored securely on a blockchain.
You mean like all my data, my online activity?
Everything. You control what information you share with whom, for what purpose.
Okay, now that's something I think a lot of us can get behind. We're all worried about data breaches, privacy.
Mm-hmm.
This almost sounds like a solution for once, instead of just another tech to be wary of.
And that's precisely the shift in thinking blockchain enables. It's about giving control back to the individual. And it gets even more interesting when you think about the implications for creators.
Like musicians, artists, writers.
Exactly. They're constantly struggling to get fair compensation for their work to prevent piracy.
Deloitte's article highlighted that, right?
Right.
This idea that blockchain could completely upend intellectual property as we know it.
Absolutely. Imagine this. A musician records a new song, and instead of being at the mercy of a record label or a streaming service, they release it directly on a blockchain. Fans can buy it directly, every transaction is tracked transparently, and the artist gets their cut automatically.
Wow. That kind of cuts out the middleman in a way we've always dreamed of, but could never quite achieve. It's all starting to sound a bit like that Web3 buzzword I keep hearing about. Is that essentially what we're talking about here?
Spot on. Web3 is essentially this vision of a more decentralized internet built on blockchain tech, where users have more ownership and control. And it's not just some futuristic fantasy. Those artist examples are already happening with NFTs.
So to bring it all back for our listeners, it seems like blockchain is so much more than just a new way to send money online. It's this underlying technology that has the potential to revolutionize how we think about trust, transparency, even ownership in the digital age.
Beautifully put. It really does feel like those early days of the internet, you know? We understood websites, email, but no one could have predicted the rise of e-commerce, social media. Blockchain has that same kind of disruptive potential.
It's both exciting and, I'll admit, a little bit daunting. It makes you wonder, what will be blockchain's equivalent of the smartphone? What unexpected innovations are just around the corner? It's a question Deloitte posed, and I'm throwing it out to our listeners.
It's a question worth pondering, that's for sure. I think if there's one key takeaway for your listeners today, it's this. Take the time to understand the fundamentals, decentralization, immutability, transparency, because blockchain technology isn't going away. Just like with the internet, those who understand it will be best equipped to navigate the changes to come.
Couldn't have said it better myself. A huge thank you to you for breaking it all down and to our amazing listeners for joining us on this deep dive. Keep those thinking caps on because the future of blockchain is still being written. Who knows? Maybe one of you listening will write the next chapter. Until next time, happy diving.